So what does it mean to be battle ready? And what does it take to be this kind of follower? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, and we'll go through 20. And I'm going to break this down a little bit. So in verse 10, it starts with, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. Having done all, stand firm." So point one is stand firm. Be strong in the Lord, because as Christians, we cannot stand on our own against the incredible powers, the superhuman powers of Satan. We just can't do that. We must rely on God for this kind of protection. And the Greek word for the whole armor is panoplia. Refers to the complete equipment of a fully armed soldier, consisting both of shield and of weapons, like those talked in verses 14 and 15, or 14 through 17, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. So what does verse 12 talk about? That we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The flesh and blood, when we're attacked that way, it's super easy for us to defend, because I see Matt coming at me, and I have the opportunity to put my guard up, to get ready for the fight. But it talks about rulers against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And yet, Scripture is very clear that Satan is no match for God. It's abundantly clear that with God on our side, Satan can't do anything to us. But the only way this happens is for you daily to put on that armor. And verse 13 talks about us standing firm. And I believe this is talking about how important it is to remember to open God's Word every day. And it doesn't say that we have to read an entire chapter. There's no place in the Bible that says you have to read so much. It just says open and take the Word of God in so you can be protected throughout the day. Verse 14 through 17, it says, "Therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So point two, stand strong. In verse 14, with a simple rousing order, Paul urges us to withstand the enemy and not give in to fear. What's he saying there? That we don't have any reason to fear who Satan is if we put on our armor every day. We can withstand anything that Satan throws to us. It's important that we do this, guys. And in verse 15, we're told that believers must always be ready to proclaim the word, the gospel. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record today. The only way you can proclaim something is if you know about it. If you only come to church on Sunday mornings, or you go to a Bible study midweek, and that's the only intake, you're not going to be ready to proclaim the gospel, because you're not going to really understand what the gospel is all about. We have to do this for ourselves. And the only way this happens is for us to always put on the whole armor of God. You might ask, what does the whole armor consist of? Well, it's made to protect you from head to toe. And it consists of a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, and shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the more I thought about that, the breastplate to fight off the darts that the devil's throwing at us. I watched a few clips of different types of armor, and one of them, Matt and I talked about it a little bit. Has anybody ever watched 300? Well, there's one scene in there where these soldiers are just incredible. They will die for their cause at a drop of a dime. But they're taught to make sure that they have their armor on. And when they're being attacked, there's one scene where all these guys are huddled up, and their soldiers are probably larger than this table round. And they pick them up, and they are stacked on top of each other, and there's no way from the top all the way down to their feet, there's no way anything that's coming at them can penetrate their defense. And that's the shield. And this is our shield day in and day out. It may not cover me head to toe physically, but spiritually, it covers me head to toe. And you guys have to remember that. And the helmet of salvation just rang clear to me that where does Satan attack? He doesn't really attack in a setting like this. He attacks when I'm all by myself. And if I don't have my helmet of salvation on, the things that pop up in your mind, if you're not prepared and you don't have that helmet on, you're going to start thinking, I'm not supposed to be where I'm at. How did God die for me? And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get into those little cracks. And if you don't have your helmet on, he's going to get in. And our mind is a powerful thing. And he plays tricks on us all the time. So I can't encourage you enough to put that armor on day in and day out. And when I was thinking about this, I came to mind firefighters and the importance of a fire chief. And this kind of goes to the importance of a dad, the head of the household. Or if there isn't a dad, the mom that's the head of the household. That When firefighters are in the firehouse and they're doing whatever, either they're eating, they don't do donuts, they do other things. they're working out, they're washing their trucks, just whatever they're doing at the time, and the bell sounds. What do? They all run and jump into their armor, right? And one of the jobs of the chief, as these guys are donning their armor, he's standing watching the ones getting in the trucks. And if one of them forgets one piece before he gets on the truck, he says, Nate, stop. You don't have your boots on. You don't know where we're going. And if you have to go into a fire, your feet are going to be toast. So Nate doesn't get upset at him, does he? Nate says, thank you, Chief. I'll go get my boots on. And really, that's what the church is. It's a place to learn how to get dressed properly, to be fed, to just learn the do's and the don'ts. On Wednesday night, I meet in the resource room with a group of guys that's been super consistent, about 10 to 12 of us. And we've been going through a study that talks all about the life of Jesus in his 33 years and just the reality that what took place back then takes place right now. And those guys, I guarantee you, if they saw me out on the street and witnessed that a chunk of my armor was missing, they would come up to me and they would say, "Brother, what's going on?" And it wouldn't beat me up. They would encourage me. And that's what this is supposed to do. A body is supposed to be a place where we encourage each other. Iron sharpening iron. And we have to look at when we're outside of this building, the church, we are the church to a world that's looking all the time. If you've ever made a statement, "I'm a follower of Christ," you can be guaranteed the ones that aren't follower of Christ, they're trying to pick you apart. And they're watching you. And so it's super, super important to pick the Word of God up and to check yourself every day. That way, we're told to be ready to proclaim the gospel. Because somebody's going to come and ask you at one point, "So where does it say in the Bible that it's okay to do this? Or where does it say that you can't do this?" And we have to be ready to answer those kinds of questions. So, again, let's be ready. Verses 18 through 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to the end. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So the third point is prayer. My eyes were opened up here a little bit too. Being consistent in prayer. Praying. The weapons for warfare are spiritual because they are rooted in prayer, which is the Christian's most powerful resource. Now listen to this. Prayer is to permeate believers' lives as a universal practice. Think about that for a second. Some people are intimidated because they're speaking to the God of the universe. Well, it talks about the Holy Spirit standing in the gap for us. That sometimes we may not know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit does. And God just wants an open line of communication with us. The only way we get to know somebody is how. Spending time with them. I didn't know Maluli when he first walked into this church. He was super friendly, wanted to meet everybody. But I didn't know him until we started talking with each other, until we started up a men's Bible study. And real life started being talked about. And that's a man that loves God with all of his heart. And I know that just because of the way he lives his life. And that's what this is all about. God wants to know who you are intimately. And technically, he already does. But do you know God intimately? The only way you can do that is by conversing. And it takes two things. One, opening the Word of God and reading for your personal intake. And two, praying to God and asking him to enlighten you in what you're reading. And he's going to open the door for you, and you're going to get to know God deeper and closer than you ever have in your life. It says, prayer is to permeate believers' lives as a universal practice. As seen by the use of all four times in this verse, it says, at all times, with all prayer, with all perseverance, and for all the saints. Prayer in the Spirit is a form of worship enabled by the Spirit of God, who intercedes on behalf of the one who is praying. And that's what I was just talking about, that God intercedes. He knows our thoughts, He knows our hearts, and He knows when we are struggling on how to pray for people. We've got heavy-hearted families in this church. We've got four families that I know of that are heavy-hearted because of physical issues in the families. And there may be more than that. And there's times where we don't understand why we are going through what we're going through at the time. And we don't know how to pray. Right here, it's clear that the Holy Spirit's going to intercede for you. And He is going to step and fill the gap. I wanted to tell a story about a man that we all know in the Bible. And he was a man that was known to have a heart after God. And yeah, it's King David. There's two aspects of his life that I really want to bring to light this morning. The first one is when King David was, before King David, he was a shepherd boy out in the field, and he took care of his father's sheep. And during that time, King David had incredible time, one-on-one time with God. He didn't have too many other humans to speak to, so what did he do? He spoke to God, and he knew because of the testing that took place out in those fields that lions came and tried to take sheep away, and he fought them off. And he knew that God had his back, so he was protecting the flock. And same thing with bears. I mean, we've had a few bears come into camp, haven't we? I don't know anybody that fought them off except for Kim White. and there's actually a song with that, right, Nate? I think you understand where I'm going with this. And at one time, David came home, and his dad said, "I need you to go to the front lines where your brothers are and let me know what's going on there." And as David showed up with his satchel with the goodies for his brothers and the people on the front line, as he got there, it was early in the morning, and Goliath had just walked down into the valley. And we're told Goliath, a giant, massive man, 7 foot plus. And what was Goliath doing? He was defying the God of Israel. He was calling people out that said, remember I talked about it earlier? When you say you're a believer, people are going to call you out. That's exactly what Goliath was doing to this whole army, to Saul's army, right? And David, mid to late teenager, little short guy, pretty good looking. When he heard what Goliath was doing, it just turned him beet red. That how in the world are all of you, the army of God, that say you're believers, letting this guy talk about our God like this? So what did David do? He went right up to Saul, said, "I'll go fight this guy." And Saul kind of laughed at him, didn't he? He said, "You're just a kid. You can't fight him. You're not a seasoned warrior." And so David said, "You don't understand. My God will protect me." And so what did Saul try to do? Saul said, "Here, put my bronze helmet on your head and put this big old vest of chainmail on." And David attempted to don this stuff, but quickly realized that he's not protected by somebody else's armor. He's only protected by the armor that he has from God. And he knew that his staff and his sling was all he needed. So what did he do? He took that stuff off, threw it down, picked up five smooth rocks from the brook, put him in his pouch, and proceeded down the hill to meet Goliath. And Goliath laughed at him, right? Said, what do you think, I'm a dog? You can come beat me with your stick? And Goliath said, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed you to the birds and the animals of the field here. And David said, you've defied my God, the God of Israel. He's going to hand your head over to me, and I'm going to feed your body to the field, the animals of this field. And what it, now, remember, Goliath, a seasoned fighter, massive. The entire army of Saul, chicken to come down and fight him, had on his full armor, his chainmail. He actually had somebody carrying his shield for him, right? So he has on this massive helmet. And if you guys ever seen helmets like that, they cover all the way almost down to your shoulder. And in the front, they have a piece that covers the nose. And there's just very little that is exposed to the elements. And I don't know exactly how far David was from Goliath, but he reached into his pouch, he put a rock in his sling, and he started doing this, and he let go. And what happened? God stepped right in, took that rock, wham, hit him right where there was an opening. And what happened? One rock. Goliath just, could you imagine a 7-plus foot? I bet you he was easy 350 pounds. I bet the ground is boom, shook when he hit the ground. And David went over, cut his head off, took it back up to Saul, and told you, the God of Israel took place. This is what happens when you put on the full armor of God. And so there's one perfect example of what happens when you're close with God, when you're spending time with God, when you're one in the same with God. But through this, a lot of things took place. We know that David became king, and in 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, does anybody know what that is? It talks about David and Bathsheba. So here, David, a man after God's own heart, and to my knowledge, there's really only one that's been called that by God, and that was David. And, you know, just like us, we are super grounded in our faith. We start growing. We're given a little more responsibility. And before you know it, just a little bit, we take our eyes off of Christ. And the enemy, remember, it's not flesh and blood that we fight. It's spiritual, exactly. And while David, being the king, was supposed to set the example and go out because they were getting ready to fight the Ammonites, and David was supposed to follow. He was supposed to be the leader. And here's this sign at this time in David's life that he was a horrible leader, because a horrible leader says, Kurt and Jeff, this is what I want you to do. Now go out those doors and do it. But a good leader says, Kurt and Jeff, come with me. I'm going to go show you how to do this. And David wasn't a good leader at this moment, and he sent his army out to fight. And one evening, it was probably nice outside, he walks up on top of his palace, nice sunset probably, and what happened? He happened to look down and see what is depicted as a beautiful woman bathing. And instead of putting that armor on and being close with God, what does he do? He sends one of his housekeepers, go knock on that door and have that lady come on over here. Right? He gave in to flesh. He gave in to sin, a prideful sin, lustful sin. And all kinds of bad things took place then. That he not only did things he shouldn't have with this lady, but she wound up pregnant. And instead of just fessing up right then, he brought Bathsheba's husband home, tried to get him to go spend some time with his wife, but Uriah was a man of dignity. I'm not going over there while all my buddies are out there fighting. I'm not sure why you brought me home, but I refuse to go hang out in a luxurious room with my wife when my buddies are out there. I need to be back out there on the line. And a man with character. And after multiple times of David trying to get Uriah to go do this, he finally sends him back to the front lines. And what does he do? He actually writes a letter and says, take this back. And when the boss opened it up, it said, put him in the most dangerous place. Because he's still trying to hide the sin that took place. It's because David took his eyes off of God. And just that quick, guys, if we're not steadfast in our walk with Christ, it's against the spiritual world, and we don't see it. And things sneak in just like that. So I cannot encourage you enough to put on the full armor of God every single day. So let's see what Ephesians 6 through 10 has to say about being battle ready. First, Paul is saying that for us to be battle ready, we have to put on the full armor of God every single day. We are fighting Satan's entire army. It's not just one-on-one. Satan has an army that is just wanting to attack. Wants to attack in your most vulnerable spot. It's a spiritual thing. We may be able to hide our vulnerable spots from each other, but we can't hide them. When our armor's down, Satan knows where you're vulnerable. And he's going to come and he's going to get you. And it's proven. It's written in the Word of God how easy it is Satan gets in. Just look at David. Satan and his army, they go out to get us and want to make us feel unworthy of all that we are truly worthy of. We have to remember that when Christ was on that cross, say your name. Say it out loud. I heard one person. Christ did the same thing. Every soul that's ever walked this earth, Christ said their name. And he said, I'm doing this for you. You are worthy enough for the God of this universe to come down, walk on this ground, and know what he was going to have to go through. And he chose. Physically, he asked to have that taken away from him, but spiritually, he knew that he had to go through that. That man was beaten to a pulp. You talking about the physical fight? He knew he had to endure that. And he knew that in the midst of getting beat to shreds, that he still had to go through it. And he knew that he was going to be spiritually attacked. And he still chose to do it for each one of you. And what do? Just say, God, here I am, and accept him, and then not be battle ready for him? Not to stand up and fight for him? We need to learn to fight like David fought when he was a young man, because that spiritual fight happens day in and day out. So let's be battle ready. I got a couple questions for you. Are you battle ready? Let that sink in for a minute. Are you battle ready? And two, are there any pieces of your armor that you forgot to put on this morning? or that you forgot to put on before you walk out the door to go to your job. All we have to do, guys, is spend just a little time with God every day, and He will make you battle ready. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and I thank You for His sacrifice. I thank You that while He was on that cross, He said each one of our names, and He knew what was coming, and He of all people, went through more than anybody else, and He was battle ready, and He died for me. And I just want to say thank You, Jesus. And I pray that each one of us will get up daily and don our armor completely, that we won't leave anything left aside because it's a little too heavy to carry today. That's the day that we'll be attacked, God. And I pray that everybody here really grasps that we have to be battle ready. And I thank You. And we're getting ready to take our offering, God. And I thank You for this body. I thank You for their willingness to give. I thank You that You are who You are. And I pray that this offering that is taken will be used to glorify Your kingdom. And I thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.